I'm going to start out by quoting a verse to you in 2 Timothy 2:7. In 2 Timothy 2:7, one of my favorite verses. And when I read this verse in 2 Timothy 2:7, a dumb old hillbilly like me, I was amazed at what that said. In 2 Timothy 2:7, Paul, the apostle to the church today, he says this. He says, "Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." Now, either that verse is correct or it's not. Either that verse is true or it's not. And if it's true, then what can I do? I can pick up my Bible and I can understand it. And you can understand it. Now, if that verse is true, then you can understand your Bible. And therefore, you'll not be scared of any book in that Bible. You'll not be scared of any verse in that Bible. Because you can understand it. It's written in what kind of language? Old English, plain old English. Just like they've been speaking here in East Tennessee for years. You-uns and us-uns and all that good stuff. Right there in that Bible. Ye and we and us-uns and you-uns. Y'all understand that kind of stuff, don't they, John? That's what kind of stuff they talk down there in ball play.
Uh-huh.
Well, yeah, I know. I was born and raised down there in that country. I didn't think there was no place else but that kind of stuff. So you ought to be able to understand it. In fact, we ought to be able to understand it above some of these highly educated people. Paul says also in Romans 15:4, I believe it is, that things were written aforetime for our learning. You say, well, wait a minute now. Revelation was written a long time after Paul wrote, right? Well, that's what they're gonna tell you. But in reality, that's not true. That's not true. And that's some verses I want to show you. But if you turn to Revelation chapter 1, I want to just show you a few things this morning. I want to give you kind of an introduction to the book. The book of Revelation is a book of what is the book of Revelation? What is that? It's a book of prophecy. And when we say it's a book of prophecy, what are we talking about? Things to come. A book of prophecy. It just so happens that everything that's written in the book of Revelation hasn't happened yet. Now, there's many things in the Bible that's already happened. And those, we say about those prophecies, that those prophecies have been fulfilled. For example, the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to earth the first time. You know, it's prophesied that he was going to come, right? It was prophesied in Isaiah 53 that he was going to suffer. Did that happen? Sure it did. It was prophesied over there in the Old Testament that he was going to be born in Bethlehem. Did that happen? Yeah. Been fulfilled. That he was going to ride into Jerusalem on a donkey. Did that happen? Sure it did. Now we're going to come over here to something that's not happened yet. Is that going to happen? Sure it will. Just because it hasn't happened yet. But you can't let people tell you stuff without you taking the book and reading it for yourself and studying it and discerning it for yourself and knowing what it's talking about. It's not a mystery. It's not a mystery. Paul writes about a mystery that was hid before the foundation of the world. He reveals that in the 13 books he writes. John writes about prophecy that's going to happen in the future that was known since the world began. That stuff's been known all the time. We're talking about, in the book of Revelation, we're talking about a coming kingdom that is upon the earth. God promised Abraham a kingdom that's going to be set up on the earth. And he promised the seed of Abraham a kingdom. And he promised his seed that they were going to inherit the earth. Are they going to get it one day? Yes, they are going to get it one day. The problem that people have is that we are not part of that kingdom. God promised us what? He promised us a heavenly kingdom. When I die and when you die, if you're in the body of Christ, if you have trusted that the Lord died for your sins, then you're in His body today. And when you die, you're going into that kingdom that's in the heavens, and that's where you're going to stay. You are never, ever coming back to this earth. This thing is earthly. You know, the only way you can live on this earth is how? To be in an earthly body. You can't live in this earth in a heavenly body. When they send guys up in the spaceship, well, what do they got to have? They got to have something that they can breathe oxygen in. Up there, they don't have that. Same thing down here. If a guy come down here in a heavenly body, he can live down here. This place is for earthly people. Does that make sense? I mean, that's what they learn in college. If they didn't learn that, they couldn't send a guy up in space. And then everybody wants to come back down here to earth when they die. I can't figure that out. Can you? But at any rate, the book of Revelation is a book of prophecy. That's all it is. Things that are going to happen in the future. Now the title of the book is this. Let me read you the title. The Revelation of Jesus Christ to Saint John. That's the title. The Revelation of Jesus Christ to Saint John. Now, the title and the subject are different. Here's the subject of the book. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants which must shortly come to pass. And he sent it and signified it by his angels unto his servant John. So the subject of the thing is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now does that make sense? That's what it is. It is the subject, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now you see that title up there? That title up there, the revelation of Jesus Christ to St. John, of course, you know, that was placed there by the translators. It's a good title. But the subject of the whole book is about what God's going to give to Jesus Christ. That's what the whole thing's about. The prophecy about what Jesus Christ is going to give. Do you realize that Jesus Christ is going to judge all things? Well, sure he is. God give him the judgment of all things. He's the one that's going to be sitting on a white throne one day. He's the one that's going to judge the nations. He's the one that's going to be the judge. He's going to judge all things. In Hebrews 12:2, the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set forth before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God, looking to Jesus, the goal of all for us all. So there's what the whole thing's about. It's about what Jesus Christ is going to receive. He's the one that came to earth and died for us. He's the one that did it all. And you all know this. If the whole issue of the salvation issue is this, you have no part in it whatsoever. And if you ever figure that out, and don't let all these preachers and denominations and preachers on TV and all this nonsense that goes on, Jesus Christ did it all. The only part you have in it is you put your faith and trust in what he did for you, and that's the only thing you can do. He died for you. He was buried and took your sins away, and he rose again the third day, so you can stand just before him when you get resurrected one day. And he did everything. You have no part in that. Just believe and trust. That's all. You don't have to join a church. You don't have to get water baptized. Nothing. You don't even have to give 10%. We'd appreciate it though. Well, our money is not too great. Somebody said, you need to start preaching on tithing. Well, the whole problem is, if you got to give money because you think you got to, you know what you need to do with your money? You need to keep it. Because the Bible don't tell you you got to. You give your money because you want to. You might not want to give much, but don't give it because you have to. Because the Bible don't teach that at all. Now see, I'm way off of Revelation, see. Might be a good time, Tony, to take up all. Okay, who's the book written to? Well, let me give you that anyhow. It is written to his servants. First verse there, one verse here, I forgot on that is Revelation 2:20. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou suffered the woman Jezebel, which called herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication, to eat things sacrificed to idols. You can go through quite a few verses in here. Revelation 19:2 talks about the blood of his servants. The book is written to his servants. Who is his servants? Well, let me give you that. Leviticus 25:55. For unto me the children of Israel are servants. So the book is written to the children of Israel. That's who it's written to. Ain't no doubt about it. And the book is not written to the church. You got to understand that. Can you learn from it? I hope you can. You ought to be able to learn from the book of Revelation. But the book is not written to you. Why is it not written to you? The reason why it's not written to you is because you are not in the book of Revelation nowhere. And don't let anybody tell you that you are. Because you're not. They're going to tell you all kinds of things. They're going to say that the church gets called out in Revelation chapter 4. That's not true. And when I get over there, I'll show you. It's not true. The church, which is the body of Christ, you can't find it anywhere in the book of Revelation. Nowhere in the book. Because it's a book of prophecy. We are not anywhere in prophecy. How do I know that? Because Ephesians chapter 3 very plainly says that the church was hid in God before the world. That's what it says. So if we've been hid in God, nobody knew about it until the Apostle Paul. Does that make sense? Well, sure it does. It makes sense to me. And if it's hid in God, then it was a mystery. It wasn't prophesied at all. So here in the book of Revelation, a book of prophecy, the church never was prophesied. But now it's been revealed. So it's written to his servants, the nation of Israel. For after all, they're the ones who are going to inherit the earth. Why would it not be written to them? Look in Revelation chapter 1. Look at verse 6. And has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Well, look at this thing. Kings and priests. Well, you talk to many people today running around. In fact, I talked to a Baptist preacher a couple of weeks ago, and he told me, he said, you know, we are kings and priests today. Well, Lord have mercy, if I was a king and a priest. Well, that's true. I forgot about that. If I was a king, instead of Social Security check, you guys would be sending me some money. And if I was a priest, I'd know what you guys were into. Because you'd be coming in every Saturday night, knocking on my little window. And you tell me, John, what you was into Saturday night. And to be honest with you, I wouldn't want to hear it. Because I couldn't do nothing with it after you told me. And I'm going to tell you the truth. That guy sitting behind that screen, he's got his collar on backwards. He can't do nothing about it either. I don't care how much money you pay him. And I don't care how many Hail Mary full of grace the Lord is with thee. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. You ever hear that? I don't care how many of them things you say. It ain't going to do you no good. I don't care how many times you go up and down them beads. It ain't going to do you no good. Because he can't forgive anything. Do you know who's going to be kings and priests upon this earth? The Bible tells you. Why can't people read the Bible? I don't know. Exodus 19 and verse 6. Who's going to be kings and priests? Exodus 19:6. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. These are the words that thou shalt speak unto the church. You see that? Is that what that says? No, it says the children of Israel. Why can't people believe that? They say, well, what about the New Testament? That's a whole different subject, see that? In 2 Peter, what does Peter say? Well, in 2 Peter 2 and verse 9, here's what the Bible says. 2 Peter 2, 9, I believe it is. Let me see if I got that right. No, 1 Peter 2, 9. 1 Peter 2, 9. The Bible says this. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth a praise of Him who has called you out of darkness unto His marvelous light. Well, I had a woman tell me that she read that to me and said, see there, said, you are a peculiar people. And I said, well, I know I'm peculiar. But how in the world, what? Tell me about that holy nation. And she couldn't tell me about that holy nation. If this nation we're living in is holy, I'd hate to see one that was dirty, wouldn't you? There ain't but one nation that's going to be holy one day, and it's certainly not ours. And I'm saying one day, that little nation's over there today, it ain't holy. And you all know that. That's not God's nation over our today. God don't have a nation today. Did He have one time before? Well, sure He did. Did He have a chosen nation one time before? Yeah, He did. I had an email this week, and a woman told me that the reason they had fires in California was because the Secretary of State, Condoleezza Rice, gave the land to the Palestinians. And that's the God's truth. You know, people believe that stuff. And y'all know that Bush called the hurricanes a couple of years down north New Orleans. You know that, don't you? I had a couple of ladies that come here to church. They believe that. Can you believe that our president caused a hurricane in Louisiana? What about our Secretary of State causing fires out in California because she gave the land to the Palestinians? Hey, where do they get that stuff at? Let me tell you where they get it at. They get it from the pulpit. Exactly where they get it at. You know what's taught in the pulpit, good as I do. I've listened to that stuff. I've been in churches that taught that stuff, and you have too. You know what they teach. They teach you the same thing that's been taught in this country for years. They teach you that out of the book of Genesis, chapter 17, where it says, "I'll bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee." Exactly where they get it at. But who's that talking to? Well, it's talking about Israel. Does that apply to you today? Well, no. What happened to Israel? Well, they killed the Messiah, and they stumbled at the cross, and they blasphemed the Holy Ghost, and guess what happened? They fell. And guess what else happened? They were blinded. That thing over there today in 1948 don't have anything to do with anything. I'm just throwing that in there because when we start talking about the nation of Israel here in the book of Revelation, we're not talking about that nation over there. If a Jew living over there in Jerusalem today wants to get in God's favor, what's he got to do? He got to believe the same thing I do. Because God has no favorite people today. No favorite people. And if people read the Bible, they get off all that crazy stuff. All this political stuff. Hey, you can't take your newspaper and put it in this Bible. Today's newspaper, you can't find it nowhere in the book of Revelation because it ain't there. I don't care how much you read the newspaper. And if they blew up Iran today with a nuclear bomb, it's not in the book of Revelation. And you can't put it there. You know why you can't? Because we're still here. That stuff ain't going to happen. In the book of Revelation, when I read the judgments that's coming, it's not going to happen until the church, the body of Christ, is gone. And we're still here. Think about that. So, just one note here, and I want to... My time's pretty close, ain't it? Okay, here's one thing. on when the book was written. Peter, look at 1 Peter 4 and verse number 7. Now, I'm going to tell you this. I don't know when the book was written. I don't know. But if you read the commentary today, what are they going to tell you? They're going to tell you it's written around 96 A.D. When did Paul finish writing his books? They're going to tell you that he finished around 67 A.D. Well, here's the problem. Peter in 1 Peter 4 and verse number 7, he says, "But the end of all things is at hand. But ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer." Well, Peter says, hey, the end of all things is at hand. When did Peter think the end was coming? Right then. When did Peter write 1 Peter? Probably around Acts 15, when Paul goes up to see him. And when Paul goes up to see him, that's about the time Paul writes Galatians chapter 2 and verse 7. And he gives to him the gospel of circumcision, and Paul the gospel of the uncircumcision. But you got to understand that when Peter writes Second Peter, well, then he kind of changes his mind. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. "But the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away, with a great noise and with elements that shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works and therein shall be burned up." Now, you see what Peter does there? He changes his mind and says the Lord is long-suffering. Well, the whole deal is that John is writing his books during that same period of time. It doesn't mean that. Let me read you one other verse and I'm going to close. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 25. Paul says that, "Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me to you, given to me for you to fulfill the word of God." So what's he saying? Paul's saying that God gave him the word of God to fulfill it. So in Colossians chapter 1, he says he's going to fulfill it. Well, if he fulfills it in the last book he writes is 2 Timothy, well, then John had to write the book of Revelation during that time period. And that's all I'm saying. You can believe what you want to. I wasn't there, and I don't know. And it's not going to change a lot of things. But the only thing I'm saying is that Paul is the guy that fulfilled the Word of God. And John had to write during that time period. Okay, thank you.